Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding 2401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, I'm attended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and around.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue jeans, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of From the Legal Side. And today we have a very important topic that we want to talk about. Over the last 18 months, we have seen a lot of interaction by off-duty security officers in a number of various situations. And we want to talk today specifically about obligations, whether the security officer is obligated to intervene when off-duty, liability both for that security officer as well as their employer, insurance. What does the insurance industry say about getting involved off-duty? And also, how important it is, really, to know the law of the land. And we talk about this substantially over the years. It's important to know the statutes of your state and when you can and cannot get involved, not only as a security officer, but as an individual, as a citizen. So that's what today's episode is all about. So we've got a lot of stuff that we want to cover. Let's get right into it and waste no time. Over the last 18 months or so, like I said, a number of security officers have been involved in incidents, and some of them have ended tragically, and others have resulted in massive lawsuits. So I'm going to give you four different specific incidents that have happened over the last 18 months, and I'm going to start with a friend of mine. He is a retired 40-year police officer, police major, actually, and he currently owns a security company and has, like most security company owners and management people, he has at times had to go out and fill a post. He's had to wear a uniform and do all the roles of a security officer. And on this particular night, he was en route to a call off. He didn't have anyone, or he chose to do it himself. I'm not sure which, but in any event, he went out, left his home, and he was en route to the post to cover a shift in uniform and armed. And he noticed that he really needed to get some gasoline. And while he was there, he was going to go inside and get some refreshments, some snacks, to tide him over until the morning, because it was going to be a long overnight shift. And he stopped at the convenience store and he filled up his gas. And as he was almost done with that, he noticed inside the store that the clerk kept looking toward him. And having all of those years in law enforcement, he knew that body language oftentimes is a precursor to something else that's about to happen. And he knew that body language in itself could really tell you a lot about the person as well as what's happening, even without any words having been spoken. So he finished off quickly his filling of his gasoline. He put the hose and the nozzle back in place. And without getting his receipt, he decided to casually walk to the side of the building, out of the view of the window and door. And he didn't see anything out of place. But he did see the cashier continue to look toward the parking lot. Now, my friend was in uniform. And I will tell you, he is a military law enforcement squared away individual. And when you see him, you know he means business. Doesn't matter what his position is. It doesn't matter if he's private or public officer. You just see it. You see him, especially when he's in uniform, and you know that serious business is coming your way. And so I'm sure that the cashier and others just assumed he was an off-duty police officer. He cautiously entered the door and was met with an armed robbery suspect pointing a gun in his direction. He did not hesitate but to pull his weapon and use deadly force, and the suspect died on scene immediately. Of course, in any shooting, whether it be a security officer, a civilian, a police officer, an off-duty police officer, there's an investigation. And sometimes the police cannot make a complete or immediate determination. And in some states, even when it is a clear-cut case of self-defense, that case has to go to the grand jury. It has to be reviewed by the prosecutor and go to a grand jury to see whether or not there's probable cause to prosecute the person. My friend did not hesitate to use lethal force to save himself and the cashier. My friend did not waste any time deciding what had to be done, whether or not because he was off duty, whether or not because he was private security and no longer a law enforcement officer, whether he should get involved or run for his life. You know, you have two choices. You can confront it, or you can flee and hope that you don't get shot in the back on the way out. In his situation, he had intended on going into the convenience store anyway. He had intended on purchasing some other items, so he did not know a robbery was in progress, although in the back of his mind, he admits it did cross his mind a few times. And he knew that the cashier was trying to signal something, and it didn't necessarily have to be a robbery. In fact, my friend said, you know, he maybe was afraid for himself that he was about to be arrested for something he was doing, the cashier was doing. But to make a long story short, there was an investigation, and it did go to the grand jury. There was no doubt in their mind whatsoever that it was a legal self-defense. No charges were brought. And in the state where he is, it's called a no bill, meaning the grand jury declined to file any charges, that there was not probable cause to believe that a crime had been committed. So he's out of the clear, right? Everything's over. He did a good deed. He saved a life. He saved his own life. And he's a hero. Not so fast. Actually, the family of the deceased suspect sued the security company my friend owns and my friend, the store, which was a franchise, and the larger company. They sued everyone and their brother, sister, mother, and father, everyone that they could possibly name in the lawsuit. And again, you would think they don't have a leg to stand on, and it's not going to be any problem. Nothing to worry about. The insurance companies will get involved, the lawyers will get involved, and they'll decide there's nothing here to move forward on, and dismissed, or, the plaintiff's attorney will just dismiss, or it'll be dismissed once they enter court. Not to be. You would think there wasn't anything to sue over, and yet it did go to a standoff. In most lawsuits, they are settled out of court during conferences between attorneys. Negotiations is a big part of civil lawsuits, and my friend did not want to give them one cent, not one penny, not one nickel, nothing. And he was adamant about standing his ground. I'm not giving in. It was justified. It was legal self-defense. There's no prosecution. There's no grounds to think that it was anything else. It went on for almost a year. And then the plaintiff's attorney said, we're taking it to trial. We'll let the jury decide. Thankfully, someone came to their senses and said, look, we think we have a lawsuit. And even if we don't, we're going to tie your attorney, you, and your insurance company up in court for another year. The family has agreed to settle for $25,000. That's not a lot of money, but it was enough to say that my friend and his security company was guilty of something, negligence or unlawful killing. And so despite the security company owners' adamancy and standing firm on no settlement, let's go to court, in the end, his insurance company paid the family $125,000 to settle the claim and not go to trial. The attorney for the security company and my friend had already charged a substantial amount of money. I never got the total, but from my own experience, I know that the minimum that the attorney is going to charge is $25,000 and maybe more. Luckily, the insurance company did pay out, even though he was off duty, technically. On the other hand, because he's a security company owner, they allege that he's always on duty. And that's true. As a security company or a business owner, you're always on duty. You're the one that has the final call. You're the person who's at the end of the road liable. And so the insurance company did settle for that amount of money. And that's a lesson learned. Would he have done something different? He says no, even today, long after it happened. It would not change his decision or what he would have done, he said. And this actually happened about 3 years ago now. But in the last 18 months, they settled out of court in a settlement. This is how the system works. And this is something that you need to be aware of. When we come back from this break, I want to tell you about a young man who was killed in New York City. And really, you would think it's just ridiculous what happened. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to PovertyUSA.org today, because one in six children in poverty is one too many. A message from
a security officer in New York City last year was working at a downtown, I believe it was Manhattan, building and decided to run across the street. It was late at night for something to eat and drink at a bodega, a convenience store. And he's on duty in uniform, and he runs across the street. He gets hit by a car. He is killed. Now he's on duty. He's in uniform. He jaywalks, they say. He wasn't in a crosswalk. He wasn't at an intersection. He didn't have the right of way. He runs across the road. He gets involved in an accident. He gets hit by a car. And guess who gets sued? The security company. The security officer was on duty, in uniform, and working for his employer. And even though the security officer suffered fatal injuries, the plaintiff, the driver of the vehicle, sued a very well-known security company in that area. And again, it went through arguments and negotiations. And again, the security company agreed to settle for an undisclosed amount of money out of court. Why would they be liable? And for what? The security company is liable because the employee was on duty. And he caused an accident by running out into the middle of the street and jaywalking. And that's what it all hinged on, that he was not in a crosswalk. He was not at the corner where you're supposed to be. He did not have the right of way. Most people in America believe that pedestrians have the right of way. That is false. You can actually be arrested for jaywalking, and a citation is an arrest. You have to be in a crosswalk, and you have to look both ways and have the right of way. You have to have clear crossing. Either you have to be on a crosswalk that says pedestrians have the right of way, or you have to be at a four-way stop or a corner, and you have to have clear right of way. You can't just dodge into traffic, you know, kind of hoping that people won't hit you, or maybe you're hoping that they will hit you because maybe that's a lawsuit. But in this case, the on-duty security officer did not have the right of way. And so the driver of the vehicle sued the security company for not only damage to his vehicle, which was sustained. You know, when a vehicle hits a person at even a low speed, there's going to be some damage. He sued for his injuries, and guess what else? He sued for mental trauma. That's almost like post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, or something similar. He sued saying that he had nightmares, flashbacks, and the insurance company for the security company looked at all of the information, and they had no choice but to settle, to be honest with you, because had they taken their chances in court, they probably would have lost for a whole lot more money than they probably paid in this undisclosed amount. I can imagine that it was several hundred thousand, at least, maybe even more. In lawsuits, attorneys work on what's called a contingency. And what that means is when you have a good case and the attorney believes there's a possibility of him winning, they don't charge any upfront money. No hourly rate, no down payment. It's a contingency. If they win, in most states, the attorney splits about 40%, sometimes 50%, and you get the remainder. In other states, they have a set percentage maximum that they can collect. Again, usually it's about 40%. So let's say that someone gets $1 million in their settlement or lawsuit and they get a judgment, then the attorney's going to get $400,000 or $500,000, and the plaintiff, the other party, is going to get the other half. It doesn't seem fair, but the attorneys are taking all the risk, they say, and therefore, they are allowed by law to share into, like I said, a 40 or 50% split in whatever they recover. Now, on the other hand, they don't win or they're not able to settle to get the other side to settle for any amount, then they don't get any money. They may have put 30, 50, or 100 hours altogether into the case, but they're not going to get any money. It is a gamble, but that is how it works. In this particular case, the security company is liable. As you know, if you're a manager or owner of a security company, at the end of the day, you're liable for everything that your employee does. You don't have to tell them to do it. You don't have to necessarily be the one who says, I don't care if you want to cross the street and get a snack and just get back here to the post. You don't have to say that. You don't have to even tell them, don't cross the street. I don't want you off the property. Because at the end of the day, one of the four major forms of liability is vicarious liability. We've talked about this a few years back. Vicarious liability falls to the owner, the manager, or the supervisor on duty at that time. At the end of the day, the owner suffers the consequences of what the employee does, whether they decide to kick in a door or steal from their client or run across the street illegally jaywalking and get hit and killed, and then the company is sued by the driver of the vehicle. Another sad, similar situation happened last year in Memphis, Tennessee. A security officer working at an apartment complex, armed elderly security officer, decides he's going to go to the convenience store and get him a snack or something to drink, and he drives off the property, never to be heard from again. The wife and the family contacted the Memphis City Police Department, the Shelby County Sheriff's Department, and they began a search. They searched the area, and there's no sign at all of the missing security officer. Well, the security officer was found about several months later in a pond nearby the apartment where he was assigned on duty, and he had crashed, went off the side of the road and crashed into this pond, and his vehicle got buried in a bunch of mud in the pond and was not visible from the road. No one saw it until someone on the way to a bus stop walking by saw what they thought to be taillights sticking out of this pond. Police and rescuers were called, and there was some damage to the guardrail surrounding the pond, but it was in place, intact, and they pulled the vehicle out, and unfortunately, the security officer that was missing was found in the vehicle, deceased. He had run off the road. It was late at night. They say that it was raining and maybe even a little bit foggy. He may have gotten disoriented and crashed. It was an accident. However, the wife attempted to sue his employer. The wife tried to say that the security company allowed their people to leave the property, allowed their people to go to the local fast food restaurant, allowed their employee to leave the property and told them they could do it as long as they came back quickly. The wife of the deceased tried to put the blame of her husband's death on the security company themselves. It's difficult sometimes when we lose loved ones and we want to blame somebody. We want to, you know, lash out at somebody, put the blame on somebody besides ourselves or the family member who's deceased. And in that particular case in Memphis, they did not win. They did not proceed. And it was tragic. And unfortunately, had the security officer not left the property, it wouldn't have happened. but the owner of the security company is not liable. They didn't direct him to leave. He actually violated their policy by leaving the assignment, and so there was no case in that situation. When you act off duty and you're in uniform, the employer could technically be held liable in some cases. When you act on duty, in or out of uniform, the employer is definitely liable. But sometimes we have to weigh liability and risk with, like my friend, life and death. In that situation, at the convenience store, he chose to save not only his own life, but the life of the cashier, and to, he really had no choice at that time but to use lethal force. But as a security officer, we have to realize that when we're off duty and out of uniform or in uniform, if we intervene into a situation, we're on our own. We're under no legal obligation. We're certainly not mandated. We're not police officers in most cases. And we have to decide whether or not it's really worth getting involved. If you're like me, you're going to get involved anyways and not even think about what could happen, what might happen, what the liability is going to be. I'll worry about that tomorrow. Right now, I want to stop whatever's happening. I want to intervene, and I want to help the people that need help. I've been involved in numerous situations where I probably could have been sued because I was acting off duty. I was not on duty. I was not a police officer. I was not acting as a security officer at that time. It is really so important to understand that we are limited in what we can do, but sometimes we have to do it anyways and maybe suffer the consequences. In one final situation, a special police officer, a sworn law enforcement officer in Richmond, Virginia, who was a security officer with special police powers on certain properties, a number of years ago, stopped to aid law enforcement to direct traffic during an accident scene on the interstate where there had been a collision, and it was during an ice storm. This officer, off duty, but in a marked vehicle, put his emergency lights on, his emergency equipment, and got out to help direct traffic. And during this situation, he was almost fatally injured, killed. A vehicle collided with his vehicle and pinned him up against another vehicle that was involved, and he lost both legs. Now, the driver of the vehicle was injured. The security police officer was injured and lost both legs, and there was lawsuits against his employer saying that he was acting on behalf of the company. They couldn't sue the state of Virginia. They couldn't sue the city of Richmond or Chesterfield County where it happened, but they could sue the employer. And the employer adamantly defended themselves. And again, very expensive in doing this. You got to hire attorneys. It's a long process. It doesn't happen overnight or a week or two like on TV. But trials, especially civil, they can go on for a while. Negotiations, all kind of paperwork being filed back and forth. And in the end, the security company hired some experts to show that he was acting on his own, outside of his authority, outside of his work hours. And unfortunately, the man, the officer who tried to do good, was left holding the bag, so to speak, and defenseless. And I'm not sure, you know, if he recovered any money. I'm not sure if he sued. I think he did sue the driver of the vehicle. He may have recovered some money. But there were a number of lawsuits filed. you know, the bottom line is he was unfortunately off duty. He was acting in his own goodwill to help others and became the victim. That's going to conclude this episode of From the Legal Side, and we're so glad that you've been here. We have a lot of other legal episodes coming up. Be sure to join us on the next edition of the LP Zone, Loss Prevention, where everything's all about retail security, and, of course, our weekly broadcast of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Thanks again for being here. Until the next time, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you back here, right here on the radio.